Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, my name is Sarah, and welcome back to another episode of Talking Fast. Alongside me, just like most weeks, is manager Jacob. I say most because you did miss a week.
I did. 2 weeks ago. I appreciate your service to the squad.
Service to the squad.
As you can tell, I still have a little bit of a nasally thing going on.
I can't hear it. Like, really? I think it's in your head more than anything else.
I was thinking about it all day. I was like, am I going to be sounding like a cartoon character?
No, you don't sound like a cartoon character. I mean, like, not because of the nasally part, at least.
Just my whistles on mic.
With that, though, what are you drinking or eating? We want to know. We've missed you. You haven't been here.
Okay. Several episodes ago, we had Caitlin Campbell on the show.
That was a while ago.
Yeah, she's an amazing, I don't know if you, you'd call her a barista, right? But like, in terms of someone who knows coffee, Caitlin knows coffee. Go back and listen to that episode. This is going to be something that Caitlin hates. I go through every year, at least once a year, an instant coffee phase.
That's disgusting.
Where like I drink for the span of a week. I keep it in the fridge, an old Nescafe, like instant coffee thing.
I don't even know how to make instant coffee.
It's easy. Put a couple spoonfuls in your mug and then pour in hot water and you're good to go.
And you like the taste of it?
No, I don't. It's awful coffee. It's so bad. Sorry, Nescafe.
Don't you have like a nice coffee machine?
Yeah, I got really good coffee too. But you know what it is? I didn't drink a lot of coffee growing up. I would have a cup here and there. And sometimes I would make a hot chocolate and put in a spoonful of this like little stuff to make it kind of a mocha. Obviously, a terrible mocha. But I just wanted to admit here live on the podcast that I am drinking instant coffee this week. I'm not proud of it, but it's what I'm drinking.
Well, that makes one of us because you won't catch me drinking instant coffee.
What are you drinking this week?
I'm drinking protein shakes.
Do you have a specific
brand? That was
brand?
Like the douchiest thing I've ever said. No.
Do you lift?
I lift now. I lift. You can't tell, but I lift. No, I just like was like, okay, I need more protein in my diet. I'm not necessarily getting it with like just eating enough food. So anyways, I decided to have protein shakes. And also I hate breakfast. Like this is the thing
right.
with me is I don't
not
like breakfast.
Like doing the eggs.
I don't like breakfast food. So like I need a way in the morning. And I love like drinking a beverage in the morning. And I'm also trying not to like start having a coffee on an empty stomach. So now I'm starting my day with a protein shake. But right now I'm just adding like water and protein powder. Like I need recipes. It's call out more than anything. Oh. I need to start making proper shakes because
like a smoothie kind of.
Yeah, more like a smoothie situation.
Get a banana
maybe.
In there.
Yeah, because I feel like that would be better than just like watery protein powder, which is fine. Yeah. I like the taste of protein powder, so I don't mind it. But
you'll
just
get tired of it.
I'll get tired of it. I want to like zhuzh up my options here for protein shakes in the morning. So it's a call out. If people have recommendations.
I actually have two recommendations. One is smoothie, obviously. If you're a big berry person. I am a big berry person when I'm not eating protein powder right now. Yeah, I don't know if you could tell. smoothies obviously are number one.
Yeah.
However, number two, and this is a good hack.
Oh, is this on oats?
I know you just said you don't like breakfast foods.
Oats? Is this what, protein oats? Is this
no, not thing? Oats, but pancakes.
Oh, I don't like pancakes.
Okay. Sorry. Well, if anyone else likes pancakes.
If anyone else likes pancakes, add protein powder to it.
Sarah, what are you watching or reading this week?
I'm here to report for the girlies and the guys, because you watch rom-coms too.
Yeah.
I watched another rom-com, a new one. It's called Upgraded. It's from Prime Video.
Oh, okay.
It's the one with Camila Mendes, who was on Riverdale.
Right.
Anyways, it's Cinderella coded. It's kind of like if Cinderella worked at like a fancy art house as opposed
don't
to
don't tell Disney Plus that.
Yeah, but it's, well, they don't own the story of Cinderella. Anyways, that's a beside point. But yeah, it was good. Like, it wasn't anything spectacular. Like, would I watch it again? Yes. But is it anything that's going to leave an impression on me? No, because the chemistry between the two. No Glenn Powell. The chemistry just, it wasn't as, but it's set in London, England, which is great and really fun.
Wait. Are they English people or are they American?
She's American. He's English.
I can't deal with American people in London in movies.
Oh, really? Because it's just like, everything's like, oh.
All I want them to, I just want to say like, go home.
Yeah.
let me hear some accents.
Well, that's, yeah, exactly. So it was good. It's a good, like, kind of mindless, like, I watched it on a Friday night when I was just like, I ate Thai food and didn't really think about
that's
anything
else.
That's
a fun time.
Yeah. So it was good. Like, it's not, I can see why it wasn't a movie theater. Like, it wasn't that anyone but you, like, big blockbuster energy, but I love a good new rom-com, and this one was decent.
Okay, that's
good. I liked it. Anyways, Jacob, what are you watching this week?
Okay, well, Sarah, I'm also watching something on Prime Video.
What would that be?
They have amazing content now, clearly. It's Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh, is that with Childish Gambino?
Yes. One, Donald Glover, and I'm totally blanking on the female lead opposite Donald Glover, but she is also so good.
Is it like a comedy? Like, what is it?
Yeah, okay. Do you remember do you remember Mr.
Brad Pitt and,
Mrs. and
Angelina Jolie?
Yes, from like 2005.
Yes, this is how he cheated on Jennifer Aniston. Yes.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm, that movie.
Oh, my God. Well, we all know how that ended between
all of them. All of them.
All of them, I guess. Yeah. Okay, and I didn't know this, but I guess that those characters were like originally other characters from a Hitchcock movie before that.
Oh, didn't know that.
So anyway, they're continuing on.
Oh, I love that.
In the world of Mr. and Mrs. Smith in kind of a totally different direction. It is, I think, 8 episodes. I'm happy to report this is the first series in probably 2 years that I sat down and I binged it.
The whole thing?
2 days. Done.
Is it a comedy, action, a little bit of both?
It's a little bit of both.
Oh, I love that. Oh, maybe I'll go watch that.
It's a little campy in parts. There are a couple parts that you're just like, it doesn't really make sense. But it's so fun and there is enough action that you forgive all of those little parts.
Did Donald Glover write it?
He
or produced
created it.
Okay, amazing.
Co-wrote
I'm sold
it,
then.
Stars in it. And originally he was developing it with Phoebe, what's her name, who starred in Fleabag.
Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Yeah, she left the show and then this other actress came on board. Amazing. Yeah, it is actually, it's so good. I would recommend it to anyone.
I love that. What are you listening to this week?
Okay, the Super Bowl happened relatively recently and listen, it was all about Taylor Swift. We know this. We've probably talked about this at length already.
We've given a lot of airtime to it.
That's Beyonce correct. Also dropped a couple of songs off of her upcoming album in the middle of the Super Bowl.
Yes.
It was hard to listen to them because they crashed a couple of platforms when she put out the posts.
But they are
yeehaw. They're yeehaw. So good.
They're yeehaw. They're like, I know, when it was a commercial break, I'm like, guys, we have to listen to the new Beyonce music. And all of us were like, what?
I know.
It was like Whiplash.
Texas Hold'em. I like
that. Unreal. I like Texas Hold'em better too.
Okay. And get this. You're going to love this. Texas. Speaking of like, listen, Calgary is getting so many marks positive in my book. Not just because Haley's from there. Not just because Tate McRae is from there. But because this song, and maybe 16, I think it's just actually Texas Hold'em. Texas Hold'em is not a nod to the American South. Texas Hold'em is a nod to Calgary and the Canadian West, co-written by a couple of people, at least one of my favorite songwriters, Lowell, who co-wrote Texas Hold'em from
Canadian.
Calgary. Yeah. She's an amazing songwriter.
I was going to say that's wild, though, because like Beyonce is from Texas.
I know. So obviously there's a little bit of it.
Yeah, but still,
there,
I love
but just
that.
Because it's Lowell,
no,
I'm hugely.
I'm here for a Beyonce country album. Like, I'm here for it. And it's fitting with like our guest today, country music vibes. Everyone's getting on the country train.
100%.
We love to see it.
It was also the exact song that like you listen to it and you're like, first of all, this is a bop. Second of all, didn't know I needed this.
Yeah.
But I needed this.
And this goes right into what I'm listening to because I'm back on my country grind right
now.
Okay. Not only because I'm going to see today's guest in concert tomorrow. So like I'm like all over his new album and everything, but also because it's been really abnormally warm here
yeah.
in Ontario, in Toronto, where we live. And it's like getting me in like the patio summertime vibe.
Windows are down.
And I booked another trip to Nashville. So I'm going back again. I'm going in May.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going in May. So I'm going back again. So I just feel like it's all kind of coming together for another country music era for me to happen. It happens like usually around this time every year. So
this
I'm
is
going
to be big. Also, shout out to Post Malone. Because
shout
Post
out. Who's also going to be coming out with a country album.
I'm here for it.
When is it posted? We want it.
Sarah, somewhere you went this week.
I have a bone to pick with the city of Toronto.
Uh-oh.
Or it's the patrons or people or university students. I don't know. And this might be my own fault. Because I
God,
got
no.
I can no longer go to the Weed Chief.
No.
Because I refuse to go to the bar.
In the period of the year that you can't?
Well, so I was told by my guys at the Weed Chief, because I have guys there at the Weed Chief.
You've got.
And they told me, well, it's wintertime, so like you'll be able to go again. And like, because when I say go, it's like, I'm not going to the bar before 11 p.m. Like, it's not in my realm of what's not what's happening. And so we would always, I lived down the street. We would walk over the Weed Chief, be there by like 11:15, walk in. Then we still get 2.5 hours of like dancing and music and all of that.
Maybe
stuff.
I should go to the Weed Chief because I'm not going to a bar after 11 p.m.
Well, this might be good for you because we walked by and like, look, our friend of Texas was like, we're here. And he got there like only 30 minutes before us, just before 11. We yeah. were there by 11:15, 11:20, line up down the street.
Really?
Down the street. And I have this video clip and someone pointed out that everyone was wearing the exact same outfit, which was kind of creepy. They all were wearing like, the same shade of jeans and black jacket. It was like all these bros, like all these young bros. And I literally was like, they've ruined my favorite bar because no. everyone likes it now. And also the magic of the Weed Chief used to be that like, the dance floor wasn't so packed you couldn't move. So
you
like,
enjoy
so then
yourself.
We were. That's why we didn't even go in because we're like, there's no point in even trying to go in because like you're gonna be shoulder to
the
shoulder. The reason
off.
I loved it is because I could Bernie my way through that dance floor. You know, like the Bernie where you like this. I could Bernie my way through the dance floor. I could like slide on my knees. I could like air guitar, flip my hair around, and I wouldn't hit anybody. But now it's too packed. Anyway, so all to say is I did not go to the Weed Chief on Saturday. I was very sad about it. Instead, I went to Drom. I feel like Drom is the next adult, next stage of your life.
You have to be because Drom costs doesn't cover like $40.
No, it's not. Drom's $15. The same as Weed Chief. Weed Chief is also now $15 cover. So like it's the same.
Okay.
And the money goes to the band. So whatever. That's all I care about.
No shade to the Weed Chief, but that's almost better.
They also, it also goes to the band at the Weed Chief. And so anyways,
we
went to Drom.
Can we have a battle of the bands between Drom and the Weed Chief?
We might have to. So but Drom is all like brass music, like
yeah,
saxophones,
yeah, yeah.
trumpets, and I literally kept saying these are just a bunch of Lee Side dads that get together once a week and play.
Do you
their
feel
brass.
Like you have to drink a fancier cocktail when you're
no,
there?
No, but it does. It is more like,
or like write
poetry. I think a lot
something.
Of people there are just like on drugs and vibing. Like that's kind of more the energy. Like not raving. I'm just saying like swaying along
okay.
to the music. But it was fun. Like I still enjoyed it. It just felt like, whereas the Weed Chief, I would have been the oldest people there. We walked down the street to
well,
Drama.
Also,
we're suddenly
you
the
never
youngest.
Want to walk to your favorite place and not be able to get in. That
well,
is a bummer.
And that's, it is a bummer. So anyways, and there's like 8 of us and we were all ready for like a night, you know? And
yeah.
so it just kind of put a little hole in my tires. I was a little bummed about it. So
sorry about that.
If everyone could stop going to the Weed Chief so I could return, that would be
I actually heard the Weed Chief closed. So
yeah, they closed Toronto's oldest bar. Or it costs $47 to get in now. Wow, crazy. And what's something you did this week? Jacob.
Well, I still haven't done somewhere I went.
Oh, where's somewhere you went this week?
Well, somewhere I went, Sarah, this week. Okay, I'm walking around with Brooklyn, my dog, for anyone who doesn't know. Haley and I go out to get a breakfast sandwich.
I know, I saw it on our Instagram story. It looked so good. And
shout
I'm even like,
East End Bevy, they make the, it takes forever to make this breakfast sandwich, but luckily this is a place that is not it should be popular. It should be more popular, but it wasn't slammed busy. We also went when it just opened, so mm-hmm. I'm sure it gets busier later on. They make the most delicious breakfast sandwich in the city, I think. It is the fluffiest egg on the lightest toast.
Mm-hmm.
Little avocado on there. And then a little sauce.
Yummy.
It was good. And I didn't know. I was like, Haley, you go in and order a whole Brooklyn outside here. She comes back 2 seconds later. Brooklyn's allowed in. It's
oh,
a dog-friendly
oh,
spot.
Oh, I love that. Dog-friendly.
I'm like, kidding me. I don't know another breakfast sandwich place that's dog-friendly.
Because it's probably...
So
not
it's,
necessarily standard, but we love it. We love it.
If it is, though, if regulations have changed and this is allowed, can someone please tell me other spots where I can take my dog
apparently,
in the city of Toronto? We're talking breweries, cafes.
The well, when they open Wellington Market, is going to be dog friendly.
Really?
And it's like going to have like 40 different vendors or whatever of
okay.
food. And they're going to be dog
go.
Friendly.
Okay,
so.
I'll check that out.
I know
then.
It's West End. You might not want to go all that
Shout
way.
Shout out to
so.
Dog friendly places, whether you have a dog or just like petting dogs. Can we bring them around?
And finally, what is something that you did this
okay.
week?
Okay, this is a big one for me. I used to love visual arts class in high school.
Painting, drawing,
okay. sketching, all sorts of stuff. But I kind of stopped doing that after I graduated high school.
Yeah, when you become an adult, you just kind of like stop doing.
Yeah, and like stuff. those were like kind of elective classes for me. But I really enjoy visual art. So I don't know what made me want to do this, but I hopped on Amazon and I was like, let me get some oil pastels.
I love that.
And it was, so I got a little kit. I think it was like 12 or 14 or something like that. It was $2. I'm like, that's a wild amount of money. I was like, that's cheap. Why didn't I do this earlier? I got myself a little pack of oil pastels and I just had some paper lying around. This is so wholesome. I know. And then I was just like, you know what? In between emails one day, let me sketch my glass of orange juice. Let me do a little breakfast sandwich or something like this. So I was drawing all weekend with these pastels. And I was like, this goes back to one of our... I think we talked about this a lot, goals for the year, which is just to kind of play more, do things that are just for the enjoyment of doing
them. Because I was about to say to you, I was like, oh, are we about to have like good fun?
No,
like
not prints?
No, but then I stopped myself. So I'm like, no, the whole point is he's doing it just to like,
yeah.
Like, and like, that's like it was to some, you, my improv, like same vibe.
Totally. And it was a hobby that I really enjoyed years ago. That. So I'm just discovering that again. Hey, if someone out there hasn't done that before, get some oil pastels. First of all,
I love that.
Buried entry on cost, very low, and it was really fun.
I love that.
Sarah, something you did this week?
I ran outside because, as I mentioned, it's so freaking warm here, and I got to go for a run outside again. Oh. I feel like a dog when I get to go enjoy the good weather. You know what I mean? When it's like, take me for a walk, like go for a run outside. Yeah. Like I was out there like running around, whatever. Like that's just what I do because I hate treadmills. I can't do it. I can't run inside. Same. And so running outside is just like such a pure joy. And I'm excited for our run clubs that are coming up.
Yeah, I got to start some training.
Yeah, we're going to start doing some more training because we've got that first weekend in April is going to hit real quick when we have to do the spring runoff. And so we're going to do like 3 or 4 like run clubs before that, weekly leading into it, which is exciting.
I think we probably have announced our first one right now.
By this time, we definitely have in a couple weeks. But yeah. We record in advance. So
we have no details.
We have no details, but
I'm sure they're great.
That's why you have to follow us everywhere to know the details of everything. We're just being really coy about it.
And follow the broadcast channel of Talking Fast on Instagram.
Yeah.
I don't know how you find that, but Sarah made everyone on the Talking Fast team moderators. I don't know what to do with that power yet. But,
Oh yeah. It's interesting. It's going to be an interesting journey, but figure out what we are. I don't even know how to use those things yet, like the broadcast channel. But we'll figure it out, but there'll definitely be updates. But we're going to run outside together for Talking Fast, Running Faster, Run Clubs. Our guest today is a Nashville-raised artist whose fans have long anticipated his debut album. Well, it's finally here, and he is finally here on Talking Fast. Smoky Mountains is also here, and we're excited to dive a little deeper into the album, touring, and everything country music. Please welcome, for his first time in Canada, Connor Smith. How does it feel to be north of the border?
Oh, so good. Oh, it feels incredible. I mean, it's just, it's a lot of fun. I feel like I've been meaning to get up here a couple times. I've been up in like Michigan area and been like, man, we could just run up there real quick. But
yeah,
we finally waited for the right time. The album's out. We're getting to play a show tomorrow. So everything feels like it came together the right way.
And your first Canadian show. So we were just talking before the episode started that you have high expectations. So why are the...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I don't know. I've heard the rumors that y'all like to party a little bit.
That's true.
Yeah, I have noticed that like the colder the place, the more they party.
Oh, interesting.
You gotta warm up somehow.
Yeah, it's like you gotta find something to do, and it's indoors, so you just drink a lot of beer and, you know, play music really loud. And so when a country band comes through, and places like Canada are more grateful. Like, the further away you get from the South, I feel like they're more grateful. Like, we played in Nashville, which is my hometown. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. Great show. But Nashville crowds are, like, not super excited. Mm-hmm. Like, they're having a good time, but they're like, yo, I saw Morgan Wallen on Broadway last night. Like, I don't really care. But we went up to Boston, and Boston was, like, losing their minds. And so I just feel like Toronto is kind of the perfect mix of all of those qualities to just kind of tear it down tomorrow night.
I feel like Boston and Toronto will have similar energy. I feel like a lot of the Northeast loves country music, but we don't get, like, served it a lot, especially in, like, February. I feel like this is a special treat. It's also,
I feel like, a more newfound thing for people up here or even in Boston. Like, I feel like it's grown so much in the last few years.
Yeah, 100%. That's where actually I come out of. But before we started recording,
yeah, welcome
to you. Yeah, I'm a new He's a newbie. He's a newbie. The country music scene, and I something that got me into it was actually Learn From It, which is off of your first EP there. But I was going to say, Sarah, it's 100% correct. I feel like it's also because we have fewer months that are warm weather. For 100%. Me, it was like windows down, cruising music is like the perfect soundtrack. I know you released the EP and you've done a bunch of singles in between, but now you have your first full length album. What's the difference for someone who, like, got into your music from the earlier stuff? What's the difference? How has it evolved with the new record?
Yeah, I started really early. I'm 23 now. I started putting out music when I was right before I turned 21. Mm-hmm. And so I think one of the advantages of that is I was like, okay, I have this opportunity to build a fan base that gets to kind of grow up with me a little bit. And so when I started putting out music, all my buddies were in college. They were sophomores or juniors. And so we started putting out songs that were kind of geared towards that. I Hate Alabama, Orange and White, College Town, like all these. And then I just, like, you know, pick out the cities that my friends were in school. I'd go play a show there and they'd bring out like 10 friends, and then it'd grow that way. Right. And so from there, it was like, okay, the last 3 years of my life have been growing up fast and really maturing and figuring out a lot of things. So I wanted this record to kind of grow it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Still kind of holding some, you know, I'm still 23, like, still hold that kind of innocence to it and youthful energy, which I think a lot of the songs do, but also kind of bring some depth to it that I don't think I've been able to show. When it's just, when you just got four songs to show fans, like, hey, this is it. Versus when you got 12, you can kind of go a little bit deeper. And so that was kind of one of the goals with this record.
So then I'm going to your show tomorrow. How do you then, like, take, you have way more music to pick from when you're picking a set list? Is that, like, fun for you to, like, decide, like, what you're going to perform, how you're going to do it, how you're going to tell the story throughout the show?
Yeah, I love that part. I mean, I live for the live show. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll see tomorrow night, like, it's all energy. It's as rowdy as we can get it. If there's a flat surface, I'll probably stand on it. I've had to dial back a little bit, but, like, before I was, like, every bar top and table, I was just getting rowdy. I've dialed back a little bit and really tried to kind of have a show that has some dynamics to it. There's a part we break it down to, but it's a lot of fun. And a lot of the songs off the record, like, if you listen to the record, they were made for a live show. Like, Creek Will Rise, which is the single, like, that song was written because I was like, man, how do I get these people in a college bar rocking by not having to sing Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy by Big and Rich? You know what I mean? So that was kind of the idea, and it really translates well.
Okay, so speaking of college bars, I have to ask. So my sister's here watching, and she actually went to the University of Alabama.
Oh, really?
And she was at Gallet's when you and Thomas Rep performed that at that, like, time.
That's epic.
Yeah, so for the context for the listeners, the concert got rained out.
I can tell the story. Yeah, we were amazing. So I was on tour with Thomas Rhett in 2022, I believe it was, and it was me, Parker McCollum, Thomas Rhett. There was we did like 40 shows that summer. He only did 3 shows in the Southeast, which is really expensive for me, but whatever. And it was like Atlanta, Georgia, Charleston, South Carolina, and then Tuscaloosa, Alabama, which I fully believe was planned on his part, because he knew, like, my only big song at that time was I Hate Alabama. So he was like, I just want to see what happens. Yeah,
humble you a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's probably passed out tomatoes before, you know. Well, God was on my side that night because a storm came through, and we couldn't play. And it was like one of the first shows he's ever had to cancel because of weather. And so we're sitting on his bus. It's just me and him on the bus. And he's antsy. Like, he can't sit still at all. And he was like, dude, what should we do? And I think I had been to Gillette's before because we had played in Tuscaloosa before. And I was like, dude, there's a bar with a little stage. Like, maybe we could see if we could just bring some guitars and go get over there. His manager calls. And so basically he calls Parker, me, Parker, and TR went over there. And so TR couldn't post it. He's got 4 million followers. Mm-hmm. You know, Parker has probably 2. I wasn't right in that sweet spot, you know what I mean? And so I put on my story. I was like, hey, we're going to be playing at this bar. And then like slowly but surely people started trickling in. So it literally started with, you know, 50-100 people in that bar while Thomas Rhett is up on stage and he calls me up and Parker's up there too. And we're all just kind of playing songs. And then like by the end of the night, it was just a madhouse. Yeah. Like people just like on you couldn't stand in the room. Everybody was outside just like screaming. It was one of the coolest nights.
Was it more or less nerve wracking playing I Hate Alabama then on like where you can like see the people face to face so close? Or where do you think like, well, did you survive it?
I mean, your sister can attest, like they love it there more than anywhere.
Yeah, because they love being the enemy.
Yeah, and every Alabama girl is like, oh, this song's about me. You know what I mean? So it just kind of like...
That's true.
It just kind of... It helps.
Is there any songs off the new record that you'd be nervous to play in certain places?
Let me think about that. That's a good question. I think they're all pretty safe. For the most part,
not as much stating a hatred towards a certain place. Yeah. So they're a little bit more low key.
Yeah, there's not a ton of hate on the record. So I don't know.
You're relatively young. You're early on in your career. What does touring with someone like Thomas Rhett do for you personally? Do you look to him and other artists like that as mentors in the space, or what have you learned from the people you've toured with?
Yeah, that changed my life. I mean, it was pretty wild. And Thomas specifically is like a big brother to me early on. And that's one of the cool parts about country music that I don't know if it was fully kind of throughout every genre, was like, it's such a family atmosphere that those established artists really help out kind of the younger artists. You mm-hmm. see it all across the board. I feel like every major level artist can point to someone who helped them, and then they have someone that they're helping. So Thomas was that guy for me. And so him asking me on tour, this was back, he asked me on tour when I didn't have any songs out. I had no traction. Uh-huh. There was like nothing. He had no merit to do that. Mm-hmm. But it really kind of solidified a lot for me inside of the industry and then with a fan base. I mean, so many of the fans at our shows can say they saw me first at the Thomas Rhett show, right? Mm-hmm. And so that was a big deal. But then on top of that, Thomas is specifically is just like a dude I truly respect. Like a ton. Like, he's just an amazing human. And so get my first look into touring and that kind of scale of this industry was getting to watch someone who does it the best out of anyone as just a person. That was a big deal. And I think that shapes a lot of what I do, even like subconsciously for me.
Has that helped in the writing process at all too? Spending so much time on the road with someone like that, or other collaborators that you might have worked with?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I started writing songs really early, and that was kind of the dream, was just to, you know, tell stories through country music. And then you get on the road and you go play a show in Alabama, or you go play in these college towns, and you get on stage and you kind of realize that your slow heartbreak song about, you know, it doesn't work. They don't care. Like, they want a party. They came there to drink a beer and have a good time, right, on a Friday night. And so when you get on the road, it changes everything about what you're thinking about in those writers' rooms. Mm. Because the whole point is, hey, they spent this amount of money on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday night to come be in the same room with you and your band so that they could have a good time with their best friends and to sing songs that mean something to them. And so to write songs that kind of fit that atmosphere was really kind of what shaped kind of the turn in our music.
I saw this quote and I love that you said your whole life has been centered around country music in this dream. So now that you're like on your own headlining tour, you have your first album drop, is the dream like living up to the expectation of it?
Yeah, I mean, so every blessing comes with a different set of problems, mm-hmm. as you guys know. Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's incredible. And I am living in my dream. I'm up in Toronto this week, mm-hmm. promoting my record, playing a sold out show tomorrow night.
Pronounced it properly. You dropped the second T. It's Toronto. So you're
Toronto.
Good.
Praise God.
You're good. Yeah, you're good. No tomatoes tomorrow. On stage.
So it's like, you know, that's such a blessing. I'm also had to wake up at 6 a.m. and, mm-hmm. you know, it won't be done until 8 p.m. tonight. So I'm talking like, So it's all of those things. They're blessings and curses, but I wouldn't trade it for the world.
The ebbs and flows of it. I actually wanted to ask you, is there anything you took as inspiration from touring with like Parker and Thomas to your tour that you're doing right now?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think it goes back to just that energy. I think for me back then, one thing I'll say this about country music specifically, and I'm sure it could stretch across every genre. Every top level artist has their own type of up-tempo song. So if you think about like Eric Church or Morgan Wallen or Hardy or Jason Aldean or Thomas Rhett, these all their up-tempo like party songs all sound incredibly different. They're all their style. And so for me as an artist, that was the one thing I took, because I was like, okay, I got to figure out what my up-tempo, what my party song is. And that was where we tried to write. That's where we wrote Creek Will Rise, and felt like that really kind of captured some of that energy. And then Heating Up and Baby Eye that we put on the record. And so that was a big thing for me. It's just kind of the continuing the process of discovering myself. I mean, like I said, I started at 20. I'm 23 now. Still so much time for me to figure out what I'm doing and who I am. But I've kind of been given this opportunity and privilege and curse and other ways of like it kind of in the public eye a little bit and with people watching. But it's been cool that my fans have gotten to go on that journey with me.
We were talking earlier about how you were saying like the more north you go, the fans are like more grateful and everything. For sure. You're about to go to Europe.
Yeah.
Do you think like I don't think when I think about people that live in Europe, whether it be like England, like whatever, that they necessarily are country music fans. So were you excited to like see the difference like in fan bases as well, like all over the world?
Yeah, I do think it's they all are looking for something different. In every spot. And one thing I've heard about Europe specifically is they really love like the storytelling. So they really are like, they'll be very quiet is what I hear. Like they do not, they're like just very civil and quiet, and like you could drop a pin. And so they like the story, they like the storytelling. They like, and some of that, like, you know, Scottish roots music, like you can kind of hear some of that, especially with where country music's at right now. And so it'll be fun. I mean, we're going like, you know, six different countries in nine days, sort of thing.
Change up the set list then?
I don't know. I change up the set list almost every night. Like, I'm kind of known for that with my band. They get pissed off at me, but so I'm always kind of throwing it around. But because I mean, every crowd is so different. I'm always trying to read the crowd. It's such like this kind of.
Well, that's kind of the best thing about live music then too, right? It's like you're getting an experience that differs a little bit from maybe an album that just came 100%. Out. You're playing to the room.
Well, there's two ways to do it. There's, you know, putting on a show and then having a set list, right? And so like trying to blend those two things for me, because so much of performing and the talent of performing is reading energy and like being able to like kind of decipher that and how to create moments, but never lose that energy. And so it's just different every night. And so there's a couple like back pocket tricks we'll pull out or whatever. But so when we get to Europe, you know, I'll probably just feel it out for the first couple nights and see what happens.
What's the biggest difference then between creating a set list and creating a show? Just like the vibe of energy of the room, or like, yeah, would you just switch it up halfway through like a set if you're reading the energy?
Somewhat. It depends on how locked in we are. But a lot of that too has, you know, depending on the size of the tour, right? True, like if you're playing in an arena versus playing, you know, Horseshoe Tavern tomorrow, like those are two different. Because when you're playing an arena, you got production and lights and fire and rain and whatever.
Is there one you prefer? Is it just different?
I don't know. We haven't truly gotten to like build the true show yet. So when we step into that with like the full production, that'll be a different thing in my brain that I'm fired up for. But right now, when I'm in these rooms with 500 people and everybody's just having a beer and ready to sing a song they know, I'm really just about, it's not about me. It's not about, hey, how many of my songs do you know or not know? It's like, hey, how do we just collectively, how do you leave going, dude, I had the best time tonight.
Is that your goal every night? Just that, like, that's what you want. Like, so for me going to the show tomorrow, what's your goal for me to like, how do you want me to like leave the show feeling?
Yeah. I mean, like the number one goal is like, that was the best show I've ever seen. Right. Like that's your aim every night. But I think inside of that, it's like, man, I had so much fun. Mm-hmm. Like I cannot wait till he comes back to Toronto. Right,
Toronto.
You got me in my head.
I was complimenting you. No, I respect that. You did it naturally.
I respect that.
So you'll be good. So with that, so we talked about how you want me to leave the show. For those listeners that haven't checked out your music or your new album yet, what do you want them to take away from their first listen of a Connor Smith album?
You know, I'm a dude who just like loves country music. Like I just come from from my job as someone who just like truly respects the genre and love that I could have a place in it now. And so I just want to be one of those guys that carries the torch. I love telling stories and I love writing songs that say something. And so when you listen to my record, one of the goals I had was you would get to understand who I am a little bit more. And so every one of these songs on you know, this Smoky Mountains record, it tells a different side of the story, different side of my heart, different side of kind of the storytelling aspect. And so, when it's all said and done, I want to be known as a songwriter. And so I hope that comes through with kind of what we've put out so far.
Are you writing while you're touring as well right now? Is that like a difficult thing to do both?
For sure, yeah. It's ever evolving and ever changing. I'm always writing. I'm always thinking of ideas and kind of putting stuff. We were in the green room this morning about to play on the breakfast. What's it called?
Breakfast television.
Breakfast television.
There's a bunch of breakfast shows.
We're about to play, and I was like trying to finish the second verse in my head, like in the green room, like before we went on. So it's always, I just can't turn it off. But that is one of the hard parts of touring, is you're not in Nashville around the songwriters to like really kind of cut a little bit deeper.
Morning shows are maybe not the best environment.
Yeah, no, you're not.
At 6 in the morning.
Yeah, I was like mumbling under my breath, trying not to, you know, shut down the live broadcast.
What inspiration strikes after coming on Talking Fast, though?
Oh, for sure.
It's going to be Toronto mentioned with the proper pronunciation. Oh, yeah,
I'll throw it in the set tomorrow night.
Oh, my God. Okay, great. And I'll listen for it, and I'll like give you a little...
Yeah, you'll know.
I'll know. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Totally.
And I can't wait to see your show tomorrow.
Absolutely. Thank you all for having me.
No, of course.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.